Where'd your water come from before you still have the well, I guess.
Oh, yeah, the well's right there. I got a hand dug well.
Carlos Newsom, Laurel Creek, West Virginia.
What's it run, iron or sulfur or silt or what happened to it?
Well, once they started blasting, it just sometimes it'd be right black looking. And like pieces of coal come through your pipes and stuff. And it red, it turns everything red. And you just can't really use it. You know, we wash clothes and stuff, but it turns your clothes yellow, your white clothes. And so I don't know nothing I can do to it, you know, because I can't afford a water filter.
And how long ago, how many years ago?
Back in about 93, I guess, somewhere along in there.
And it's still bad?
Yeah, it's still bad. Well, matter of fact, it gets worse, you know, now. So we can't drink it or nothing. We ain't drunk none since they done the blast and messed it up. As a matter of fact, Marbone furnished the water for a long time, and they quit. Wouldn't furnish it no more. They used to go up in the Laurel Branch where the mine office was up there, and they had the water stuff up there, and they give us water until they quit, and they wouldn't give us no more. So then I started hauling from the top of Mudfoot Mountain where my uncle lives. I'd go up there and get out his well. About once a week I'd go up there and get water.
And over here, that's still an active crack?
Yeah. I know. Only way to start fixing it. Put a new foundation under it.
And what would that cost you?
I don't have no idea. It cost more for the labor problem than to put the block and stuff, you know. So I couldn't afford to do it. I didn't get enough money to fix it, you know, when they settled with me. But I had done the best I could with what I had. That's all I could do. And I had to put a new roof on the house and stuff. And I had nailed them boards down on top of the house where it shook them loose. And my house leaked and everything before I got it fixed.
Did the crack show up all at once, or was it a slow process?
No, it showed up all at once when it cracked it. And it just kept cracking around different places. Just like you have an earthquake or something when it shake it. You can hear your house cracking and popping. And I tell you, it's pretty bad.
This is Cyril Webb and Gladys Webb at Julian. And we were sitting on the porch here one day, and they were reclaiming the mine up here on the hill. And first thing I know, I heard a big blast. And Mr. Breedlove up there came running down here, and the big rocks came down. Oh, they were enormous. One went through the side of the house into the inside porch on the floor. And another one came right there, almost hit him. And another one out here, about four or five out in there. They were that big.
Albert? Yeah.
Breedlove will tell you, they were that big of rocks.
He said they were big.
And they took care of everything. They put new siding on the enclosed porch, brought me a new chair. This is it. There was one like that. And they replaced it with this one. Of course, it's not as good as that one was, but still. We accepted it. They were real nice. They were real nice. They took care of everything. Very nice people. Now, they were the ones that were reclaiming the property, not the mining. Now, who they were, I don't know. But they were from the company that had the mines. can't think of the name.
Did they agree to change the way they blasted?
They didn't do any more blasting, that was all. It's just above one place right up above the house here, right up on the hill.
Sounds like you were lucky you all didn't get injured.
We were lucky that we didn't get hit with the rocks. We were lucky. We were sitting right here on the porch.
And that's what happens. You come in and your dream house to retire and just relax, and then you have to fight coal companies because they just don't want to. They don't want to take their time and do it. They want to get it right now and run. My name's Dickie Judy, and I live in Foster Holler, in Boone County, West Virginia, left and fork. Well, they done a lot of damage on the inside, cracking the walls. They've done damage, cracking ceramic tile. Shaking stuff off of the walls and hitting in the floor and breaking. Done damage on the outside here. They've cracked some walks. They're breaking the stucco on the side of the block on the outside. And they just keep harassing here about what they're doing with us, what little damage they're doing, and they do quite a bit. So Mike Superfesky for the federal said that this was caused by blasting all these places in my house. We moved in 1 month, they done a pre-blast survey, and they started blasting, and they had a catalog on the pre-blast survey, and we still got beat in court.
Well, here's a crack, too. This here is that, it's got the fiber in it, and your concrete's not supposed to crack. And this slab's 4.5 inches thick, and it's cracked all the way through. All this here stucco was being busted off the house. Now, these here had small cracks in them here, as you see. But they've opened up quite large since they started blast. This crack here wasn't even in here. We let our house sit here a year before we finished it up and moved in it. I let it sit here a year. Went in, cut out any kind of crooked studs or anything that was crooked in it, put new ones back in, put our sheetrock in, and then we moved in. And then they said this was caused by Sally, and after it sat here a year.
Do you do construction? Is that what you do?
I used to for 11 years. I built homes for quite a few years. But they put off shots here that, well, people call up here and ask if these are plane wrecked or what blowed up in here. And that's true. I mean, we got people shut up from over on Draughty Mountain, which is the way the crow would fly, probably be 6 miles from the strip here, and vibrates their houses and said their wells are going bad. Now, I don't know about their wells, but, you know, they said the house will rattle and shake, carry on, and they'll call over and ask what happened. See? Mm-hmm. Okay, now upstairs, right about here, I'll show you the problem in the doorway up there, one of them. Let's see, it's starting to crack here, bust all this open, see it? And then it comes up on the inside here, and these are solid headers. They're not just 2x4 standing up. These are big solid headers with 2x10s, half-inch piece of plywood in between them. So it's built right. My wife was working there in the kitchen, and the fan globe fell out and hit the ceramic tile and cut her leg. Pictures come off of the walls. Yesterday they put off a shot about 12:20. It knocked pictures off the wall, knocked some off of the stands that were sitting there. I couldn't tell you exactly what all. My wife was telling me she was upset when she called me, so I don't know what all happened to it, but she was really scared. So it was a good shot. We've had pictures on the TV there, believe it or not, has fell off, vibrated when they put the shots off. But I'd say at least 3 or 4 times a year I had to push this house down because of the dust coming from up at the strip. I mean, you can actually see it when they put off shots sometimes. You can sit out here and it'll all get cloudy and smoky back through here and then drift this way. So. They need some kind of laws to control it. You know, we're not environmentalists that want to fight out here on everything. We're trying to do is say that we need help with the laws of blasting so the coal companies doesn't destroy people's property or any other blasting that's being done. If I would go up there and do the damage to that coal company that they've done to me, my butt would be in Crossbar Hotel right now, and the coal company would be laughing. And now they've done a damage to me, and they're still laughing.
Well, this has got steel reinforcements in the concrete.
Larry Brown, Raw, West Virginia.
concrete footers or more than a foot thick. They're approximately 2 foot thick, wide. I rear ran this building. I helped build this building back in 1979 and 80 is when we got it completed. And there was no damage done to this building until we started getting these blasts in this community. And it started about 5 years ago when it happened, when these blasts started happening. And when I started experiencing problems with the church, and then after I bought this new double wide, now I'm starting to experience problems with my double wide. But nobody wants to take responsibility for it. Nobody wants to take responsibility. They say they're not fault. What happened to the windows?
In the
they
church?
Split. They split and busted. Some of them busted completely out. I had four on the lower side here split. I've had three on this side completely split, and a couple of them's already done. I mean, it done fell out. You know, they done fell out. I had to redo some of the windows already in the church. I had to put new doors up where it buckled the doors. The foundation was cracked from one side, half middle of the church, to the other, almost to the half middle of the other side of the church. And it was cracked, the blocks. I got a block piling up the middle of the church. It was split. One straight shot, completely through. It was all we busted. Here, you come and look at the inside.
Okay, let's take a look.
I had to put these new doors up here, and they're not being in here again. It's plastic. There's no glass whatsoever behind it. It's completely gone. Turn everything. We done the ceilings and all. This here, they're all broke loose. The inside glasses, there's a double glass. The inside glasses busted completely out of pieces. I had to tear them out. These are cement poured foundations, piers. That this double wide is sitting on. All right? And they're sitting on solid foundation. They're not giving whatsoever on the concrete. I've been under it. The concrete's not cracking where the piers are sitting on for the double wide. My door's in the bind. Back door's in the bind. The front window on this side, it just exploded the other day. We've been experiencing some heavy blasting. Right here approximately. Right here on this little knoll. You can't see too much for the trees. They're right there on that little knoll. And they're blasting right here. And right here, back this side of the hall, they're blasting right there. This house right here next door, it's got the front picture window completely gone, completely blowed out. It busted it all to pieces when the blasting experienced. Well, the man that lives next door, which is Mr. Blankenship, his well went completely dry. He's experiencing problems with his well. And then we've got Miss Johnson. It lives in the double wide trailer next to it. She experienced some foundation and stuff, and the well foundation stuff was cracking and stuff, and her well went dry. She had to have re-drilled. People all the way down through here, up and down this hall, the man lives next door over here across the street. He experienced some problem with his well. Experienced some problem with his concrete foundation and stuff cracking. I can name it. Up and down this hall, there's numerous of people that you could go talk to in this community that's experiencing problems, and it has to do with the blasting. Yep, it's destroying the state. It's destroying destroying property and the state. The beauty of our state has been cut out. It's been ripped away from us. It's been tore away from us. It absolutely has. As you can see, this water's not even fit for an animal to drink, much less for human beings.
James Scott, Raw, West Virginia, referring to the community water supply.
I'm Russell Elkins, and I live at Rawl, West Virginia, at Rawl Holler. And I, like I say, this here window right here busted out one night right after a shot, and that corner of the house drooped down a little bit. And then my well has been messed up by all this here blasting. I used to not have red water, now I do. Well, we were sitting there watching TV one evening, and right after a shot, the glass just fell out on the ground. It busted it off. And I had a big picture window in on the other side, so I changed them both out because I sure didn't want to sit in front of that picture window no more. So I had to change both windows out. And I called up Rawl Sales and complained about it. And they just politely told me, well, I want to do something about it, get a lawyer. I ain't got that kind of money, and just can't afford to, you know, you can't afford to fight people like that, and you ain't got the money. So that's what I was basically told, you know, just get me a lawyer and fight them. So they ain't going to do nothing about it. And I don't know what the state's going to do about it. They won't do nothing about it either, so, you know. We just end a squabble with them, and that's all we can get out of them. And there are a whole lot of people up and down that hollers got damages. A lot of them ain't going to say nothing about it because some of them work for Massey. The ones that work for Massey ain't going to say nothing about it because they know they won't have a job to work no more if they do. So basically, Massey runs the place. And that's about all I got to say about it.
How many people do you think have, what percentage of homes up here do you think have had some kind of problem?
I'd say 9 out of 10 of them if they would just open up and tell about it. Especially water problems, especially on water. I'd say it. I'd say everybody up and down through here got water problems since all this has been going on.
How many homes would that be then?
Oh, gosh, I'd say there are 50, 60 homes up in here, and I'd say every one of them's got it. You know, it's just one problem right after the other.
I keep 2 notebooks. These are just some of them. Dates, time of shot, how strong it was, what it shook in the house, and any information that you can put down. Edward Dickerson, East End of Man, 102 Crystal Street. They've done damage to my house. They wouldn't do a survey on my house until they busted one of my double pane windows. They're around $500 a window, and they broke a ceiling, one upstairs. They wouldn't do anything when they tore the computer up. They messed up my scanner part of my computer. I was on the computer that day, and they shook the picture off the screen. It shot so hard. I got so mad I called everybody in federal, from the federal down. So they came here the next day and wanted to know if they could come here and be here when they shot. And I said, more than welcome. So that's what brought them here that evening. And they was in communication with the Wade 3 back there. And was to shoot at 5:00. Well, they shot. And I told Mr. Duffield I wanted a report of the shot, and I have it. The holes were half as deep as they normally shoot, and less than half as much powder as they normally use. And he wanted to know if that one was as hard as the one day before. And that's the tricks they pull. And they think people's lying and telling them things on them. And they're back there, they're illegal as they can be. And if they can shoot and mine coal with a shot like that, they can do it every day. Somebody's got to do something to stop them. Or we're going to be, Buffalo Creek's going to be like dehumed. There'll be no more Buffalo Creek. At one time, Piston almost wiped it out with the flood, which they didn't build the dam, but they got responsible for it. But it almost cleaned out Buffalo Creek Inn. And if the stripping keeps on going, it'll be like Dehu. Everybody will have to move out. And we'll have nothing but flat top mountains around here. Good for nothing.
The first house here, there are 2 old ladies, and they said they've never felt nothing, but they're gone a lot.
Larry Bragg, Kistler, West Virginia.
The second house here is Fred Osborne, and he's complained about it and called. He said it's even vibrated pictures on his wall. This lady just moved from Florida, and she's felt it. She's called.
My name's Ellen Ellis, and I have a home in Florida, and I just bought this home. We're in the process of moving up here. But after it shook the whole house, I didn't know. The first one I felt, I just bought my mom's home. And I was sitting in there and the whole house shook. I didn't know what it was, and I come out here and asked him, and she told me it was blasting up there. And I thought it was an earthquake or something. I don't know. It was hard. It shook the whole house. Cause I'm from Florida originally, and I bought this house. I thought, oh no, we're having an earthquake. It was really scary.
The little lady over here, she's 82, and she feels it. She'll call. She's scared of thunder and stuff, and she actually thought, she called and said a truck had run into her house. She's Miss Williams. Larry Kahn, the school teacher, lives a house above me. He's called a lot.
Well, how long has it been? A couple of years or more?
Yeah. Larry Kahn, Kistler, West Virginia.
Anyway, for a long time now, we have records and dates from when it started. they've been blasting and been shaking our home, and they actually have shaken pictures off the wall, whatnots, and so to speak, off the wall. I have had to replace my windows. I have put in new windows because they broke the seal. I think they broke the seal on the windows, and my wife does. We've had to replace our windows. Our foundation has some cracks in the blocks. They came and took pictures, but it was after the fact. They got around to us after they'd been blasting for a while, and there was some structural damage inside, which they, you know, took pictures and said it already existed. But actually, we believe that it was because of the shaking and rumbling of our house.
And we called twice. And we've felt it a lot more. And Junior Blankenship, that lives right here, he's felt it. And Miss Carol down here, she's felt it. All right in this area right here. My daughter lives up and on the hill over here. And they have felt it. And my son has too. He lives on the other hill on the other side here. It's about a quarter mile on up road here. But it does. It vibrates your house.
This is a well house that was put here in 1970. It's been over 20 years and it supplied three families of homes here.
Rex Stover, Clear Creek, West Virginia.
And not, from 70 till 96, whenever they sunk it. And it went dry in January. We had a heavy snow on. And they kept blasting. And this is the one that they sunk. It goes down 100 and some feet. They cracked the water base on it, and the water went down. The well run for 20 years at ground level. Water stayed in it almost ground level. So we called the EP. And they asked us if we had a pre-blast survey. We had all our ducks in the pond. We had all that stuff done before, prior to this sinking. So then we called the mine office, and this guy says Mikhail says he's not in business to do wells. He's in a stripping business. That we went to the State Department and they made them put us a well in. But they said they put it on good neighbor behavior. That was their policy. It wasn't that we forced them to fix it, but they had good neighbor policy.
We hauled it for 4 months here till they got a well dug.
Lena Stover, Clear Creek, West Virginia.
So we went through with DEP and we had to prove to them what happened to our well. And if we had not had our pre-blast survey, if we had not had a well company and a water softener company that knew this well, I don't know, we'd probably still be without a well unless we dug it. And really all they done was dig the hole, and we had to replace a water softener system and a pump. So we were still out a lot of money that nobody covered. But they did replace the well. They give us a hole in water.
And how much water do you have?
I don't know, gallons and gallons. I bought water and I hauled water and I went every other day to the laundromat because I'm a registered nurse and I had to have clean uniforms. Plus my sister-in-law next door had three little kids and she used out the same well. And that well supplied three families at one time. and all of us run automatic washers. This well did before it went dry.
The future in this hollow down here is be useless.
Rex Stover.
They'll strip it and tear it up and take everything, and it won't even be fit for a home down in this valley. By the time these companies get through with it.
And where you live?
Chloe Ford, Clare Creek.
And so, tell us what's all this happening to you.
Well, the water, whenever you go to, you can run it for a little bit, and then within 10, 15 minutes, it goes completely dry. You got to wait 45 minutes for even a washer to fill up. So, you know, it's getting bad. Oh, yeah, you could feel the house rumbling before you ever heard the boom. I mean, one of my pictures, matter of fact, got knocked off the wall, so definitely.
It sounds like they're going to come right off there yesterday evening. It was terrible how close that is up there to us.
Blondina Sadler, Dorothy, West Virginia.
I've been told that there's ponds back in there, and some people are afraid of them, that if they break, they'll wash this hollow out. I don't know, just how bad it is. I've not been back in there myself. So there's not much you can say, except it's been bad now for 2 years, hasn't it?
Yes, it has.
Every bit of 2 years, it's been real bad.
Back out on the walls, I've seen it myself before the house burned.
Clarence Markham, Breeden, West Virginia.
Cracks that wide, inch and a half, I'll say, instead of measuring with my fingers, inch and a half wide cracks in the walls where it busted the basement up, pulled the ceiling down, or the wall loose from the ceiling inside, tore her shingles up. I was here when they had to get new shingles put on the house on account of it. And the water, we cleaned the water filter out for her. I'm talking about for her now. And it was like it had oil in it. Like it had oil in the water when we cleaned the salt filter out. And it was worst I've saw. Mine don't get quite that bad. Of course, mine's bad. But they mined behind my house earlier, and I can't say whether it was them or these, but this mine sure actually at Penn Cove shot so much harder than everything else. They shot to where they just absolutely hit it just like it's shaking the whole earth all around you when they shoot.
So what all's happened around here?
Well, my cinder blocks are all busting and coming out, and the houses are pitching towards the creek now. It's sinking.
Loretta DeJesus, Dingus, West Virginia.
And my wall in there, my plaster has all busted. And I had to fix once, and now it's all busted again. It's a coming back down. My well water, you don't drink it no more because it's done had the lick, honey. I've got a $5,000 unit down there, but it don't even take care of it now. It did before this all back in here and blasting, but it's not doing no good now.
How long between when they first started operating and you started to see damages?
Well, I'd say it was about 6 or 7 months. Everything started falling apart, and it just keeps falling. It just keeps falling apart now. Now, my daughter right up early is above me. Its well is completely gone. It's 200 and some foot deep. But its water is gone. And she had real water. But now it's all yaller. It's all black, like coal dust is all coming through it. It'll turn just as black as it can at times. I don't know. It's getting pretty bad. And I hope we do get something done, Bob. I sure do.
Come down in the yard last year.
Pretty good sized rock, isn't it?
Yeah. It weighs at least 25, 30 pounds, I'd say.
Ralph Priest, Riffey Branch, West Virginia.
And that was flown from a distance over 2,000 foot, straight over the trees in my yard.
the strip mine up here is Princess Beverly Strip. Okay.
John Sadler, Dorothy, West Virginia.
I worked at one time up Marfork Strip up here as a night watchman. I'd come in at like 5 in the evening, and that's usually after 4 o'clock when they put their shots off, anywhere from 4 till dark. About 400 yards away, I'm standing across the valley over on the Marfork Strip. When they put off a shot, I can feel the concussion in my chest, the visceral concussion. You know, they got guys that they literally think you have to set off an H-bomb or something up there to bust that rock up. You know, they want to shoot it up in the bug dust, and you just can't do it. You know, not without some sort of ramifications, and the damn community is what's suffering.
All Shaken Up was produced by Bob Gates with support from the West Virginia Organizing Project and was adapted for radio by Chris Sturr. The song we have been listening to is Miner's Prayer, sung by Dwight Yoakam. West Virginians and residents of other coal mining states are all too familiar with the disastrous effects coal mining and coal companies can have on miners and their communities. Many underground miners, whether employed, unemployed, or retired, suffer from pneumoconiosis, or black lung disease, and other mining-related ailments, which they have often had to face with no medical or pension plans from their employers. While strip mining and mountaintop removal mining may reduce the incidence of black lung, they have already devastated the environment and increased poverty in mining communities. And of course, many miners and former miners continue to suffer from black lung. We will conclude our segment on coal mining with two songs about black lung. The first is entitled Black Lung Blues and is sung by George Tucker, a retired coal miner from Kentucky. The second, entitled Black Lung, is a spiritual of sorts, sung to Black Lung itself by the great Hazel Dickens.
I went to the doctor, couldn't hardly get my breath. Went to the doctor, couldn't hardly get my breath. The doctor said, you got something that well could mean your death. Well, the pneumoniconios is a black lung blue. Pneumoniconios is a black lung blues. You got one, you got the other, any way you lose. I've always been a coal miner, breathed coal dust all my life. I've always been a miner, breathed coal dust all my life. Too old to learn a new trade, what can I tell my wife? I guess I'll tell her nothing, I'll just keep working on. I guess I'll tell her nothing, just keep working on to give my kids some schooling before I'm dead and gone. With these pneumoniconioses, a black lung blues. Pneumoniconioses, black lung blues. You got one, you got the other, and any way you lose. Oh, when I get to heaven, St. Peter's gonna cry. When I get to heaven, St. Peter's gonna cry. When I have to tell him how this poor boy had to die. With a pneumoniconiosis, a black lung blues. Pneumoniconiosis, black lung blues. You got one, you got the other, and any way you lose.
My name is George Tucker. I'm from Beaver, Kentucky. No retired coal miner. That is, retired without any pay.
He's had more hard luck than most men could stand. The mines was his first love, but never his friend. He's lived a hard life, and hard he'll die. black lungs done got him, his time is nigh. Black lung, you're just biding your time. Soon all this suffering I'll leave behind, but I can't help but wonder what God had in mind to send such a devil to claim this soul of mine. He went to the boss man, but he closed the door. Well, it seems you're not wanted when you're sick and you're poor. You're not even covered in their medical plans, and your life depends on the favors of man. Down in the poorhouse on starvation's plan, where pride is a stranger and doomed is a man, his soul full of coal dust till his body's decayed, and everyone but black lungs done turned him away. Black lung, oh, your hands I see cold. As you reach for my life and you torture my soul, cold as that water hole down in that dark cave where I spent my life's blood digging my own grave. Down at the graveyard, the boss man came with his little bunch of flowers. Dear God, what a shame. Take back those flowers. Don't you sing those sad songs. The die has been cast now. A good man is gone.
Many people believe it's futile to struggle for meaningful political change, a view that's summed up in the old saying, you can't fight City Hall. We're told not to expect government to respond to our demands. Certainly government is often a negative force. Government in the hands of the privileged will advance the interests of the privileged, unless democratic forces can mobilize a countervailing power. And that is the question. The privileged and powerful are those who own the banks, corporations, factories, mines, news and entertainment industries, and agribusiness firms of this country. They are what is meant by the owning class, or the very rich. The ruling elites, or ruling class, are the politically active portion of the owning class. They and their faithful acolytes compose the Business Roundtable, the Business Council, the Trilateral Commission, and the Council on Foreign Relations, organizations started by the Rockefellers, Mellons, Morgans, and other economic royalists. They are the people who become the Secretaries of State, Defense, and Treasury, the National Security Advisors, and CIA Directors. Indeed, they become Presidents, Vice Presidents, and Senators. For the very top positions of state, the ruling class is largely self-recruiting. When wealth and class play such a dominant role in the selection of leadership, there seems to be little opportunity for progressive betterment. Popular sentiment is often denied a hearing. People are repeatedly deceived or distracted with a never-ending panorama of pop culture and media puffery. Dissidents are harassed, suppressed, and sometimes even assassinated. In time, people lapse into cynicism. People are not likely to start a fight if they're certain that they're going to be penalized for their efforts. So they remain quiet. Some commentators treat this political discouragement and quietude as contentment. They say we're too happy with our abundance and freedom to engage in political struggle. Yet, despite the powerful array of forces against them, many people still protest, resist, and fight back, sometimes with an impressive measure of success. In recent decades, we've witnessed a number of powerful democratic movements, the civil rights protests to enfranchise African Americans in the South and end lynch mob rule and segregation, the civil liberties struggle against McCarthyism and government harassment of dissidents, the movement to end the Vietnam War, the anti-imperialist solidarity for freedom fighters in El Salvador and for the Sandinista Nicaraguans, the attempt to build alternative educational institutions and alternative media, the movement for a nuclear freeze and an end to the arms race, and the struggles for women's rights, gay rights, ecology, and environmentalism. During these same years, there have been long and bitter labor struggles valiantly fought by coal miners, steel workers, farm workers, airline employees, newspaper staff, bus drivers, teachers, university staff, hospital workers, and many others, though most of these struggles go unreported in the business-owned media. Still, while probably none of these mass movements and labor struggles have met with unqualified success, all have made a difference. All have had an impact in limiting how far the rich and powerful dare go in advancing their otherwise uncompromising pursuit of profit and privilege. The conventional view is that power is antithetical to freedom, a threat to it. This can be true of state power and corporate power and other forms of institutionalized authority. But popular power and freedom are not antithetical, but complementary. If you don't have the power to limit the abuses of wealth and position, you don't have much freedom. In order to wrest democratic gains from ruling interests, the people must mobilize a countervailing power. The concessions of the privileged to the unprivileged, wrote John Stuart Mill in 1869, are so seldom brought about by any other better motive than the power of the unprivileged to extort them. In 1857, Frederick Douglass wrote, "Power concedes nothing without a demand. It never has and it never will." Unquote. The goal of popular action is not only to limit or rebuff state power, but to make it work for democratic ends as opposed to plutocratic ends. Rather than saying you can't fight City Hall, we might better say we can't afford not to. It's often frustrating and sometimes dangerous to challenge those who control the land, capital, and technology of society. But in the long run, it's even more dangerous not to. As history shows, people frequently try to resist the disadvantages imposed upon them by unjust socioeconomic power. They may be propelled by a vision of a better life for all or by the necessities of their own material conditions. Things can become so oppressive that submission no longer guarantees survival and the people have nothing to lose in resisting. This is not to say they will always rebel against oppression. But the right combination of anger, hope, and organization sometimes can galvanize them to perform remarkable deeds. Even in the most desperate circumstances, as exist under slavery, resistance can have an effect. Reflecting on his experience as a slave, Frederick Douglass observed that defiance of any sort was a fearful hazard. "Nevertheless," Douglass says, and I quote him, "when a slave has nerve enough to exercise it and boldly approaches his master with a well-founded complaint against an overseer, though he may be repulsed and may even have that of which he complains repeated at the time, and though he may be beaten by his master as well as by his overseer for his temerity, in the end the policy of complaining is generally vindicated by the relaxed rigor of the overseer's treatment. The latter becomes more careful and less disposed to use the lash upon such slaves thereafter. The overseer very naturally dislikes to have the ear of the master disturbed by complaints, and either upon his considerations or upon advice and warning privately given him by his employers, he generally modifies the rigor of his rule." Unquote. Regarding their own interests, the worst thing people can do is to do nothing, to lapse into political quietism. In 1983, the Reagan administration's welfare chief, Linda McMahon, justified the savage cuts in human services imposed on the poorest and politically weakest element of the population by noting that the cuts must have been tolerable because, quote, "we're not seeing riots, we're not seeing people rushing the doors of Congress and the White House," unquote. The image of disabled and unemployed subsistence workers hopping jets to fly across the country and storm the capital is almost amusing. Not so the idea that the government can do what it likes to the most vulnerable among us as long as they don't take to the streets and inconvenience the rulers. Compliant passivity is the goal of all rulers who seek to preserve their entrenched privileges against the claims of the disadvantaged. It is what they usually mean by stability and order. What we need is more agitation, more angry voices to be heard against the overweening forces of wealth and privilege and position. This is Michael Parenti for People's Radio.
A couple of announcements of some actions that need to be taken both in the area of food and food safety. First, tell the USDA not to use irradiation for imported fruits and vegetables. On Friday, May 26, the USDA's Animal and Plant Inspection Service announced a proposal to irradiate imported foods and vegetables to prevent bugs, including fruit flies and the mango seed weevil, from threatening American agriculture. Comments on this rule are due July 25th. Fully a third of our fruits and vegetables are imported because labor is cheaper and environmental laws more lax in the developing countries where this food is grown. Multinational corporations want to move more food production outside of the U.S. This threatens the quality of the food we eat and the ability of small farmers to make a living. It could be the beginning of the end of fresh fruits and veggies in the U.S. Industry is bent on deciding for us what kind of food we eat by trying to eliminate the labeling that tells us if the food is treated with dangerous irradiation technology. There are alternatives. The USDA itself admits that there are other ways to control fruit flies and mango weevils. Alternatives suggested by the USDA and others include 1. Prevention by keeping facilities clean and culling out infested fruits and vegetables. 2. Heat treatments. 3. Cold treatments. These heat and cold treatments decrease or increase the temperature of the fruit or vegetable for short periods of time, killing the pests. 4. Controlling the atmospheres of shipping containers where CO2 or nitrogen is kept high and oxygen is kept low, suffocating pests. 5. Treatment with other toxic chemicals, including sulfuryl fluoride, methyl iodide, and carbonyl sulfide. Comments on this proposed rule are due on the 25th. You can reach the USDA on the web to file a comment at https://comments.aphis.usda.gov.
Genetically engineered food may cause toxins harmful to human health, lead to antibiotic resistance in humans, cause allergic reactions, and much worse. Genetic engineers have created strawberries with fish genes, potatoes with chicken genes, and even pigs with human genes. While countries in Europe reject U.S. exports containing genetically modified organisms, the FDA doesn't even require GE food to be labeled. Base foods such as rice, wheat, milk, and soy, going into hundreds of foods and food products, are being genetically engineered. Genetically modified organisms can harm beneficial insects, damage soils, and transfer their genes in our environment, contaminating neighboring crops and potentially creating uncontrollable weeds that build up a resistance. Genetic material can spread into plants not intended to receive it, to surrounding wild relative weeds, and even organically grown crops. Join GroundScore and the Fishberries in protest against genetically engineered food any Sunday in July at Wegmans and Tops grocery stores. Bring signs, costumes, info to pass out, and other people. The protest will take place at the following stores on the following dates. Sunday, July 2nd, Cortland, Tops Grocery Store, 3918 West Road. Sunday, July 9th, Avon, Tops Grocery Store, 270 East Main Street. Sunday, July 16th, Rochester, Wegmans Grocery Store, 3660 Dewey Ave. Sunday, July 23rd, Buffalo, New York. Tops Grocery Store, 1740 Sheridan Avenue. Sunday, July 30th, Syracuse, Wegmans Grocery Store, 3325 West Genesee Street. Visit www.groundscore.org for the petition to Wegmans and Tops and the Everything You Ever Wanted to Know About Genetically Engineered Food flyer. Please tell your friends. If you have an event you'd like us to announce or an issue you'd like us to cover on the program, you can contact us through our website at www.radioforall.org/unwelcome. That's radio, the number 4, ALL.org/unwelcome. You can also download shows you may have missed or get more info on the topics covered. Our theme music, Unwelcome Guest, is performed by Billy Bragg and Wilco, with lyrics by Woody Guthrie. Unwelcome Guests is produced by Chris Sturr, Jesse Lind, Lynn Gary, and Sean Ewald. We are solely responsible for its content.
I don't know, good horse, as we trot in this dark heat, that Robin the rich is for worse or for best. They take it by stealing and lying and casting.